You're listening to IsraelScene.com.
And you're listening to IsraelScene.com.
You're listening to IsraelScene.com.
Seen through the eyes of Steve, that's myself.
And you're on.
Two characters passionate about everything that happens in Israel.
IsraelScene.com.
And you're listening to IsraelScene.com. I'm Steve.
And this is Yoram.
Well, we're both together.
Sort of. Not like last time.
No. They'll never know that one.
Okay.
Anyway, we have a special guest today. His name is Nathan Brenowitz, and he happens to be the former president of the Woodstock Jewish Congregation in Woodstock, New York. He also is a successful businessman and a professional musician, and he was here on a whirlwind three-day tour, all of the areas that are being hard hit in the north and down near Gaza, with the World Zionist Organization, and it's my pleasure, and he's a personal friend, to have him here, and hopefully we'll be able to get some sense of what has been going on up north, since you had some experience with it, being in Haifa, and certainly. So, welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, before we get to the World Zionist Organization, can you give us share with us a little about what's going on back there in New York, in Woodstock, and what you were doing there, and what you've done in terms of music, which would be really nice for our listeners to know about.
Well, I live in a great place. I live in Woodstock, New York, which is about 100 miles north of New York City. And Woodstock is kind of a place in time. It hasn't changed a lot over the years. It's filled with some wonderful creative people, a lot of great energy. And 20 years ago, when my son was young, my wife and I thought, what are we going to do to have my son bar mitzvahed? Where is he going to go? So one day, the two of us with a friend of ours named Jack Scheckman, who's an old college buddy who had come down to visit us from Toronto. We were sitting in our living room drinking some wine and came up with the idea of creating a synagogue. And believe it or not, when we woke up in the morning, we still had the idea. You know, so many ideas you think of, and then they're gone. And we followed through with it, and we put a little flyer out, and lo and behold, about 60 people showed up. A few weeks later, we raised a lot of money, and 3 weeks later, we put up a tent and had our first high holidays. 150 people came. And now it's 20 years later, and we have a amazing synagogue. About 1,500 people come to our high holidays every year. We just finished building an amazing building. And when I talk about our synagogue, I say that the one word I use about our synagogue is it's joyous. People walk out of there with smiles on their faces. Lots of music. I'm a drummer. I drum at all the services. We have guitar players. We have singers. And we put on an absolutely beautiful service. And I'm real proud of it.
Well, it's Woodstock.
Yeah, it's Woodstock. It really is.
I wouldn't expect anything but.
Right.
Tell us a little about your music and what you do and where have you been? Because you've traveled around searching out different, as we shared before, different rhythms and different customs of drumming in order to...
Years ago I met a man in Brooklyn who's Cuban, and he became my teacher and very good friend. And so my drumming is Cuban style. I've been drumming about 25, 30 years. I've done a couple of trips to Cuba to study rhythms. I mostly play Cuban conga drums, learning all the different parts, the rhythms. It's pretty intricate. I lead drum circles, which is very interesting. I have about 40, 50 drums in my house right now. I'm always buying more drums. I go to different hotels and schools and nursing homes and prisons. And I just, a couple of years ago, got a job actually working for General Electric, doing corporate drum circles for their executives who come from all over the place. And it's pretty amazing. It's hard to describe, but I spend an hour or two taking them through all kinds of exercises. And I love the expressions on their face because people walk in like, what, me? Oh, I can't play. I have no rhythm. I don't want to do this. And within 1 minute, once the rhythm starts, everybody's into it. And it's really exciting. So I really, really love doing that.
So tell us about how you managed to get on this trip with the World Zionist Organization, a three-day trip.
Well, wow. Talk about something coming out of left field. This really came out of it. I had no idea that anything was happening. I had no concept that I was going. I went to a meeting at our synagogue, and it was a kind of roundtable Israel discussion. Our rabbi put it together because so many of us were feeling frustrated, and everybody had thoughts and ideas coming from different directions. And so we got together and had a discussion. There were probably about 50 people that came, and we broke up into groups. And it was very worthwhile. People got a lot of value out of it. And at the end, one woman sitting in a corner happened to mention, and just to let anybody know, I heard about this trip that's going to Israel. I don't know too much about it, but there's a website here if anybody interested. And actually, I was the only one who paid any attention to it. And I walked over to her, and I got the information on the website. The next morning, I kind of checked it out, made a telephone call. I sat for about 5 minutes. I was in my office. I called my wife, Lori. I said, hey, Law, what do you think of this idea? She didn't think a whole bunch of it. But I said, she trusts me and said, if it's what you want to do, it's your decision. So I kind of meditated on it for about 3 minutes, and then I just said, that's it, I'm going. And 2 days later, I was here. And actually, from my discussion with a lot of people that came, it was like that for a lot of the people. It wasn't something where people, well, we're going to plan a trip, you know, for 4 weeks in advance. What hotel are we going to stay at, honey? Let's look in the traveler. Didn't happen like that. Everybody was just bing, bang, and they were here.
So tell us a little about the trip. Obviously, you did a lot in 3 days. So where were you, and what did you get to see, and who did you get to hear?
Yeah, we did a lot. For me to actually, you know, tell you about the trip or tell you about the politics of it, I don't think I'd be telling you anything new. You know, I think the main thing for me to say about this trip was that we came. And I think that was one of the big things. We were so appreciated everywhere we went, you know, by the people. They couldn't thank us enough for coming in the midst of all this, that here we were. And I think that was the main purpose of our being here, you know, to take a stand and say, here we are with Jews from 18 countries around the world. It was amazing. I mean, it took me, you know, I flew from New York. It was a 10-hour flight, but there was a woman who came from Australia who had to fly 12 and a half hours to Hong Kong, 10 hours to London, and 5 hours to Israel. And she came for 3 days. So that's the kind of dedication I'm talking about. You know, what people did to come here. You know, and they did it just to show strength. You know, yeah, we learned a lot, you know, but we could have read the newspapers. You know, it was really, we came here to be here. That was the purpose of being here. And to be together, you know, and to look around and see us from all over the world coming to support Israel.
On the assumption that this is an ongoing event, do you happen to remember the name of the website or how people could find it?
The website was azm.org. So you're welcome to jump on it and take a look.
Personally, what made this trip, in what way, different from any of the other trips you have taken to Israel before? I mean, is there something unique that you're taking home with you besides the fact that you're here and you've been wandering the streets of Tel Aviv until 2:30 in the morning?
Tonight's going to be a later night. It's Friday night. I love to stay up late. That's one of the things. It's the musician in me. You know. Well, you know, naturally, you know, this is a pretty amazing time to be here. And it was funny. We came the first day, and on the itinerary was to go to Haifa. They told us we can't go to Haifa that first day. Security wouldn't allow us to go. And, you know, there were people that were, you know, kind of relieved and so on. But the large majority of us were upset. And we let the people in charge know we want to go to Haifa. So they checked in the next day, and that night, later in the evening, because the itinerary was changing by the second. You know, there was nothing in it that was for sure. And that night they said, we got cleared. We can go the next day. So they left it up to us, and more than half of us chose to go. Some didn't want to go, but most of us went. We met with the mayor. We went to the University of Haifa. We got to see, you know, a lot of the destruction there. They didn't let us out of the bus, you know, and so on. Although the siren did go off 2 times. One time we were in a building, we had to go down to a shelter. And one time we were taken off the bus and they lined us up next to the side of a building. They told us that was a safe place to be. So I was just in their hands, whatever they told me to do. I was just totally trusting. And as it turned out, you know, we were safe. And, you know, we just had an amazing afternoon being there. And again, it was just being there, you know, and looking at the streets. I think one of the unusual things is I saw very few kids on the streets. And I later came to absorption centers in the South, and that's where most of the kids were. You know, we went with so many of the kids from Haifa were taken out of the city.
When people found out that you were coming here, especially during this time, and they're saying, are you crazy or whatever, and you can understand their concern, how is it possible to convey to them what the feeling is, you know, coming here, knowing that there is a war going on, and, you know, the third of the country is being Katushed, yet you come here, and how do you convey to them the feeling of that incredible feeling of still being here and feeling a part of this place, being appreciated? I mean, I don't know how it's.
Is
there any way to do that?
I don't know.
Because you're going back.
You got to be here. You know, when you're here, the feeling of being here is indescribable.
It's deep.
It's so deep. It means so much to me to be here. It really does. It just means so much. It's not about anything I've done. It really isn't. I didn't have to do anything. It was just being here. It's just so important to me. How I can do that, I really don't know, you know, because especially if people have never been here before. You know, it's funny, when people talk to me about going to Israel, I look at them and I often say to them, you know, when I'm in Israel, I feel like I think it's one of the safest places that I've ever been to. And people look at me and I say, what are you talking about? I say, well, I said, when I'm in, you know, walking the streets, it's in New York City, you don't see young 14, 15-year-old girls walking the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning being safe. But around Israel, you do all over the place. And people feel totally safe. I'll go anywhere in Israel and feel completely safe, more so than anywhere I go. And I don't think I can convey that. People just don't get it. One of the places we went, which was interesting, we went to right near Gaza, Sderot, and we met the mayor. I think his name pronounced Eli Moran. Moyan. He was amazing. He was probably the speaker that I really got the most out of, because he was just no frills. He just hit it right to us, you know. He said there was a point where Sharon came to visit him, and they spent some time together. And he told Sharon about, you know, leaving Gaza. He said, I don't think it's a really good idea. And she said Sharon didn't have anything to answer him when he spoke. But he was a man who he feels Israel's got to defend itself. He doesn't feel that an international force is the way to go. He thinks we've got to take care of ourselves. That's what he told us. And he was not excited about us leaving Lebanon, about us leaving Gaza. It was just his presentation, you know, the way he did it. He was right to the point with us. And everybody there was really taken by him. And then he took us around town and showed us where the missiles have been hitting there. And from Gaza. He said every morning, he says he is so upset because the missiles come between 8 and 8:30 when the kids are going to school. When the streets are full of kids, that's when they shoot them off. And every morning between those hours, he says his heart is like just beating away. He's so nervous. And they're worried about us killing a few civilians. They're blaming us. Like I say, it was three very intense days. You know, it just went from one place to another, on the bus, off the bus, you know, going. And everybody was, you know, I think the main purpose of us being here was to go back to our cities and our countries that we're from and bring a message back, try to let the people know in our words what's been going on here and how they can help. And one of the main ways is to come here, you know, come to Israel. Don't be afraid to come. Come to Israel. That's my message.
A lot of people came with you on that tour. I mean, from all over the world, you said. They're coming from Eastern Europe. They were coming from South America, Australia.
Yeah, they were from all over. From
Romania.
From Uruguay, from Romania, from South Africa, Argentina, all over. Sometimes just one person from a country came. You know, sometimes there were more. And each person who came was somewhat you know, successful in the world of Judaism in his country. You know, he had something to do there, and he's going to go back and be influential with quite a few people that he's going to be talking to. So hopefully that will convince more people to come.
I wanted to mention, speaking of people coming here, that in many ways, and I mean, you may have had that experience, it's like we're in two countries. There's a country in the north that's at war and is being attacked, and it's unsafe. And then there's the country down here in the south, from Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Beersheba, and places like that, that are just like it was, just like it is. I mean, the beach is available, and the hotels are available, and the films are available, and the theaters are available, and the restaurants are available, and there's nothing happening down here in relation to a war that's happening several miles to the north of us. So I would like to also add the idea that people can come now, people coming now, if they choose not to go to a war zone, that's not hard. I mean, they can just stay in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem and maybe Beersheba, areas like that, Eilat certainly, and not be in a war zone. If they want the adventure, if they can handle it and if it's available, they can probably get on a bus or a train and have a taste of that.
Head up on north.
Right. It's almost like in America when the Katrina, the hurricane, hit New Orleans. You know, people were dying and New Orleans was devastated. But if you lived in New York or Chicago, you weren't affected by it at all.
Great
example. It's similar. You know, the only difference here, it's only, you know, maybe 40 minutes away. It's so close.
On the surface here in Tel Aviv, it's pretty much every day. But it's not just below the surface. There is, everybody's very concerned, which rightfully so. But you go on living dafka, as they say.
Yeah.
You do it in spite of what's going on, because you have no choice.
I do have the solution to this situation.
Ah, you had mentioned that to me, and I was very impressed with it.
Should I?
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Well, you're actually going to reveal it here on IsraelScene.com.
Wow. I don't know if what do you think? You think I should?
Absolutely.
I should do it.
Why
all right.
Not?
You know, I've been thinking about this, and with all that I've seen over the past, you know, days and read about and so on, but this is something that I thought about even before I got here, and nobody seems to know what to do about the Middle East. It's just a mess. It is a mess, and it has been for thousands of years, and doesn't look like it's going to be resolved overnight, but I do have the solution. And, you know, when the Intifada was going on, I saw what was going on. You know, the Arabs, they're throwing rocks, and they're swinging sticks at the Israelis, and they're yelling, you know, kill the Jews, and on and on and on. And this has just been going on, you know, for weeks, for months, for years, and it doesn't look like it's going to stop. So next time I come, what I am going to do, and I really think this is going to end it all, I'm going to introduce baseball to the Muslim world. Because what so is, there is no baseball in any of the Muslim countries. And it's one of the few cultures that does not play baseball. Now, I watch them throwing rocks, the Jews. These guys have good arms. With a little coaching, they could probably turn those fast rocks into curveballs as well. And they swing those sticks. I think they could be switch hitters. I think they can hit lefty and righty. And instead of kill the Jews, kill the ump, you know?
Yes.
So I think it's got a lot of possibility. And if we put a bunch of leagues together, Egypt playing Jordan, Iraq playing Iran, so on and so forth, they're going to be so involved that I don't think they'll have time to worry about the Israelis.
Get the kids off the streets.
Get the kids off the streets and so on.
It's
so
into the park.
I'm going to, next time I show up, I'm going to bring a trunk full of balls, bats, and gloves.
That sounds great.
And we'll see where it goes.
Why not?
Hey, other things have been tried that didn't work, you know? You never know.
We won't call it the American pastime.
No. We got to give it a different name.
Give it a different name. Well, thanks so much, Nathan.
My pleasure.
It's been really great having you here. We've had a great time with you.
I've had a great time being here. And, you know, after the 3-day mission, coming to Tel Aviv and being in your home is like, oh my God, this is like really relaxing now. That was so intense. And I just enjoyed being here. I just love walking the streets here. It's just so fabulous. So thank you so, so much.
Oh, it's been our pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
You listen to IsraelScene.com. I'm Steve.
And this is Yoram.
And we're going out with a brand new theme song. So Okay. Everybody just kind of listen on to the end of this.
Then we're going to go down to the beach and hear some drumming,
and
I understand.
And we're going to go down to the beach and hear some drumming.
Okay.
Maybe do some drumming.
Good and good.
Drink a little wine, light some Shabbat candles, and watch the sunset over the Mediterranean.